God bless you, saints. God bless each and every one this evening. Good to see everybody. Brother Wilmore, God bless you there, bro, and Brother Sasha. Anybody else who's joining, we've just put it on YouTube as well, so greetings to anybody joining from there. Brother George, Brother Pele there, God bless you, saints. Good to see you there as well. Just as we're about to start, I'm not too sure if the saints saw today. There was some pretty interesting news. If you have a look on your news feed about the EU signing a deal with Israel for gas today, for liquid gas and stuff. Very interesting. It actually includes a pipeline coming into Europe from Israel. So it's a very, very powerful story. So, you know, and the head of the EU, von der Leyen, she was saying that we want to lessen our dependence on Russian gas and all that. So you can really see it's a very significant sign for them to do that. When we were doing the Watch Russia a few weeks back, we mentioned that to say, wow, that could put a lot of pressure. Because Russia needs to come down for the oil. So it's a very good story. If you have a look at it, I didn't expect it to come so soon, but it's quite a big development.
It is.
God bless each of you this evening, everyone who's joined with us. Sorry, Bro Willie, did you want to say something, bro?
No, I was saying that news really interested me.
Did you see it today?
I remember when this whole thing started, thinking that, wow, if Israel comes to the rescue of Europe, we could see some interesting times ahead of us, you know.
That's right, bro. It just pulls the pressure. You can see it's like a chess game.
Yeah.
The pieces are all coming into place for the end time, for the very end. And that one's a really interesting one to watch. And they actually signed the agreement today. So I said, wow.
Yeah, because just looking at it without Israel involved, it looks like Russia has benefited a lot.
Yeah,
from this gas and oil and stuff. So if somebody comes to take that away, all the effects of the sanctions will suddenly weigh on them, and you can imagine the repercussions.
Yeah, the pressure, no, it's true, bro. It like pivots the whole thing in the direction of Israel now. Because they've been trying to stay out of it. They've been trying to be as neutral as they can. Mm. But it's walking a tightrope these days, yeah?
Yeah, we thank the Lord. He's our captain. He will bring us through.
Yes, bro, indeed. Okay, so what I'll do here, sorry, I'll just share my screen if I can get it going. I accidentally closed it there. So today we're continuing on just looking at the Apostle Paul. And what we wanted to look at in the life of Paul, we had a very interesting junction here where we are. We are at, if you have a look in the book of Acts, this was the stage now where we're getting on to today when there's the coming in of the Gentiles. You know, so it's a really interesting junction. The very beginning of the book of Acts, those first 9-10 chapters, it focuses, after the day of Pentecost, it focuses very much on Peter. That Peter has the keys to the kingdom. He opens to the Jews. Then he opens to the Samaritans. And Acts chapter 10 now, he's sent by the Holy Ghost to the house of Cornelius. You know, he goes pretty reluctantly. He doesn't really want to go to the Gentiles. That's not his calling. He's an apostle to the Jews. He's not an apostle to the Gentiles. But he goes and he opens the door and the Holy Ghost falls upon the apostles. And then from Acts chapter 10 now, we get in a bit of a transition because it's going to transition from Peter and it starts transitioning to Paul because now the door has been opened to the Gentiles. Now we're coming near to the start of the church ages. Now it's the coming in of the Gentile bride. So we need to have a transition now. So you find Peter's going to decrease and Paul is going to increase. So we see Paul coming in, how he persecutes the church and all that. And then we saw him last time meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road. But why I wanted just to speak a little bit about Barnabas today is that at this junction, you find the Lord puts Barnabas in here for a very important purpose. And I saw that the Lord does this inside of our lives as well. You know, we need people like Barnabas in our lives on a regular basis. So Barnabas comes in just at the right time. He's got the right character. He's got the right ministry. He catches the right vision. And he can help steer things away from the way which maybe Peter would lean to, you know, like focusing more on the Jews and bring in, help Paul, encourage Paul so that he can take the gospel now. And now Paul starts on his missionary journeys and so forth. But Barnabas comes in at this crucial hour. And you normally find that in these crucial times, at each junction inside of your life, the Lord will always bring influence. He'll always bring people into your life. He'll always bring people in at that junction to help you to navigate through those junctions. And that's what he did through this man Barnabas. And we'll see it from the scripture, Acts 4, verse 36. Let's pray before we read the scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. As we read it now, as we meditate upon it, as we fellowship around this thought, how we look to you, Lord, that you would help us. That, Father, you'd be glorified, Lord, that you would strengthen and feed and encourage us as well. And help us, Lord, in your word, we pray. May you bless each of your people that has gathered. Anybody else that's joining in or has joined in, we pray you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, this is the first time we find Barnabas. And it says, and Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. So we looked at Paul and we saw Paul wasn't born in Israel. He was born in Tarsus. He was born in a Syrian province sort of in those days, like Asia Minor. Same with this man, Barnabas. He's not a Jew from Jerusalem. He's Jewish. He's a Levite, but he's from Cyprus. He's born in Cyprus. So he's born among the Gentiles as well. So he's going to be an interesting candidate to see how does he fit in this as the gospel is going across to the Gentiles. But there's something really, this man, Barnabas, his real name is Joseph, which is Joseph. That's his real name. But once he comes into Christ, once he receives the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, once now he starts really expressing, his life has been transformed by the power of transformation. Christ is working inside of his life. We find there comes a name change inside of his life. I mean, all his adjunctions, a name change is very, very significant. And where he gets his new name, Barnabas, from, he gets given it by the apostles. They themselves give him this name, Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son, the son of consolation. Yeah, and as you continue on in the book, you're going to find no one ever calls him Joseph again. Even Paul, in all the times he speaks of him, now his name becomes Barnabas. And as is his name, so is he. His name, Barnabas, perfectly suits him, and that's why he was given this name. You know, people stopped calling him his old name, and they just called him his new name because this characteristic of consolation is encouragement. That's the modern word that we'd use, the son of encouragement. You know, that was the main characteristic of this man's life, his character, and his ministry. He was a man of encouragement. Yeah, and it was so strong inside of him that, you know, that name superseded his old name and people just started to speak him now the son of consolation. They started to call him Barnabas and he really earned this name. This was a very appropriate name. This name, there's the Greek word paraklesis, which is consolation or encouragement, the son of consolation or encouragement. And this word is an interesting one. It means to call somebody to your side. So you need help. You need assistance in some way. So you call somebody and they leave what they're doing and they come to your side. They don't just sympathize from a distance, but they actually come to where you are. And it says, coming to your side, what for? For the purpose of providing solace. So maybe you're a bit discouraged. You know, you need some encouragement like that or comfort or consolation. That's where the word comes from. Or exhortation. Or encouragement. Now you're going to see the ministry of Barnabas. He's got a ministry of exhortation. He's not the sort of minister in his ministry. He's going to preach much on doctrine and stuff. You know, I'm sure he knew the doctrine well enough. But his main line is he exhorts people. And to exhort people is to encourage them, is to console them, is to come alongside with them and to help them bear their load, you know, and just to help them in the junction that they're in. So that's why I saw it right from the beginning when I looked at Barnabas coming in at this time in Paul's life. I saw that every one of us on a regular basis, we need these kinds of people. You know, we need a Barnabas inside of our life. You need a son of encouragement to help you along the way, just as much as the people that the Lord allowed Barnabas to be with. The different junctions you see him coming in here in the book of Acts, each and every one of which is a time of need. It's a time when a man like this is needed. And like they say, come the man, come the hour. You know, he really comes in at the time where when he's needed. Now this word comfort or consolation or encouragement, paraklesis, is taken from the same root. It's actually a derivative of the same word of the comforter. Now, this word parakletos is only used of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says when he, the Holy Ghost, the comforter has come. You know, so the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost is the ministry of being the comforter. And this literally means, the comforter means an intercessor. So it's going to be somebody, we know the Holy Ghost intercedes in our behalf, a consoler. You know, when you find somebody's passed away, now, you know, Sister Lydia's father's passed away, you find that the comforter will come, the consoler will come. He's also an advocate. The Holy Ghost stands on our behalf and this accusation's made. He stands in our defense. And it literally means a legal assistant, counsel for the defense and advocate. So now that is really a very, very powerful characteristic of the Holy Ghost. You know, and when does he come in? He comes in at the junctions that you need him. When you're needing encouragement, when your battery needs to be recharged, here you find the comforter comes in now. Here he steps in and he consoles you, he strengthens you. And if you're feeling condemned and Satan's accusing you, you find the Holy Ghost comes as your advocate. If you confess our sins, we have an advocate with the Father. The Bible says you can really see when Barnabas is called the son of consolation, this is really, really the working of the Holy Ghost inside of the man, because these are the attributes of the Holy Ghost inside of a person. And some people, we all got different gifts, but you can see his real gift was a gift of encouragement. It's like some people with the gift of hospitality, some with the gift of evangelism, some with the gift, you know, there's different gifts. But this is a really, really wonderful gift if somebody has it. For someone to have a gift of encouragement, you know, I think these people are like gold when you meet them. And you do appreciate them when the Lord brings people like this inside of your life. So the Holy Ghost now in the book of Acts is going to focus on this in the life of Barnabas, this particular characteristic of him being an encourager. Now, that's really, really what he is. And it's interesting is when it first introduces him, the very first thing that it says that he did was when there's need. And the saints have gathered together. It's not going so well. The early church has come and thousands of people, some are poor, some have need, some don't even have money for food. It says that he, Barnabas, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, so you can see he wasn't somebody that would just encourage from afar saying, brother, I'm praying for you. It's easy to do that. You know, sorry that you don't have any food, but we're praying for you. May the Lord help you. He was someone that would look around and say, but what can I do about this? And he had so much feel for the needs of those people that it's okay. If you continue reading, you'll find in the epistles of Paul that Paul says, Barnabas and I, yeah, we work with our hands. You know, they were working. He was a tent maker, Paul, and that. So they were working for a living. So Barnabas obviously has his inheritance. He's got land and his whatever, his inheritance that he's possessed. And he sees the need of the saints at that junction now, just when the early church is starting up in Jerusalem. And he takes now his land and he sells it and comes and lays it at the apostles' feet. And that's why they call him the son of consolation. He was such an encouragement to so many people just through that. So you find straight away when he's introduced, you find this real attribute of him coming down, getting to where the people were and making a difference in encouraging, supplying the need. They're standing in the gap on behalf of the needs of the people. Now, the next time that we find him is now when he links up with Paul. He now becomes important in the life of Paul now, if you do it like as a Bible study, if you go and follow this. Now, think of Paul at this time. Now, when Paul is introduced as a believer, straight after he meets Christ on the Damascus Road, he goes into Damascus, Ananias comes and prays for him, and then Saul, he receives his sight, he's baptized. He now becomes Paul as it goes along, but he tries to preach in the synagogues. He just stirs up trouble. He has to leave straight away, and he goes into Arabia, and that's the 3 years that he goes into Arabia now. After 3 years now, he comes back to Damascus. You'll find that in the scripture. You'll find that in now Acts chapter 9, verse 23. He comes back to Damascus, comes now, he's been with Christ, he's been in the Word, he's got, you know, this abundance of revelation, he's been commissioned by Christ in the form of the Logos, the pillar of fire, he's given his commission to go to the Gentiles. Yeah, he knows who he is, but he doesn't really know where he started. So he comes back now to Damascus and he tries to preach, And the Jews, it says in Acts 9, they took counsel to kill him. And then it was made known, and they had to let Paul down the walls of the city in a basket, and he had to flee from the city that way. So you can see, you know, he's in this kind of a situation. And so Paul, obviously, the next thing he's going to do is, okay, let me go to Jerusalem. Let me go to the believers down there. And it says in Acts 9, verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So now he has a man, he's got a commission from Christ. He's got it burning in his soul. He so much wants to be what he's supposed to be in the church. And now, and understandably so to many people, nobody trusts this man because they've heard maybe of something happening in Damascus. And then Paul disappears for 3 years. And now he appears on the scene again in Jerusalem, and they don't treat him very well. They don't receive him. So now he's meeting disappointment with the Jews. Now he's meeting disappointments at the hands of the disciples as well. This is the sort of junction inside of somebody's life that you can expect the comforter to come. You can expect somehow the Lord is going to step into this man's circumstances. And the Lord's raised up this man, Barnabas, for just such a time as this. Now, Paul, the people don't trust him. They fear him. Look what he did to Stephen. Now, look what he did, made havoc of the church. He went to Damascus to arrest the disciples. So it's no wonder that the disciples, they're really saying, but is this a trick? He wants to come and be part of us and then, you know, learn all of our secrets. And then we find out he's still, you know, working for the Pharisees. So they don't want anything to do with him. And this is next verse. It says, but Barnabas took him. You see, and brought him to the apostles. So there was something in the character of this man, you know, that when he looked at Paul, he saw something different in Paul than the others saw. So he took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. So obviously he speaks to Paul. Now he doesn't just want to judge this man. He discerns inside of Paul something. He senses there's great potential inside. There's an authenticity about this man's testimony. There's something real about this man. So he takes Paul. He's like a new convert almost, Paul. And he takes him aside and says, brother, come, let's go and have a talk. And maybe goes and come to my house, you know, tell me about your testimony. And Paul starts telling him, I was on the Damascus Road and became a light at midday, brighter than the sun. Oh, and Barnabas saying, what happened then? He says, then I heard a voice saying, why do you persecute me? And what happened, brother? And then he says, and then I said, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus that you persecute. Yeah, and Barnabas now, as he fellowships now, and there's an encouraging atmosphere, and Paul unloads now this burden of how he's been commissioned and where he's been in Arabia and whatever that it is. The first of all of the disciples and the apostles to discern the genuineness and the potential in Paul is Barnabas. And God had to put this man there at that junction because nobody else trusted Paul. And it's Barnabas now. Now, don't forget, his name means an advocate. Yeah? He's somebody who will plead on behalf of other people. Yeah, he comes straight away, living up to his name, the son of consolation. He comes down, stands in the gap on behalf of Paul to the apostles. And he, Barnabas, declares to them, this man saw the Lord. You know, this man met Christ. He met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He's been commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he says, look what it says in that verse, that he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that was really a powerful thing that he did. Now, he stands by Saul when nobody else was willing to stand with him. And so he's a man, you can see this characteristic inside of people. Every single one of us, with the real, the comforter himself, the Holy Ghost inside of you, gives you the capacity to see the potential in somebody else. But this man had a great potential, you'll see it, of this. Now, he would really, really, he wouldn't see things as being half empty. He was the sort of man who would see things as being half full, as you'll see. He was just an encouraging sort of person, Barnabas. And he comes and encourages the apostles. Receive this man. Look at what this man's been through. No, he's seen the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. He's been preaching in the name of Jesus. The Jews are trying to put this man to death. And that is why now the disciples accepted him. So this was the real comforter inside of Barnabas now. Now, this is the real son of consolation doing this work. Now, it's like we always say, Brother Ram says, what do we love? He says, we love the Christ in one another. This is really Christ inside of this man. And he was made with his temperament, his character as well, so much suited this particular characteristic of the Holy Ghost. Now, this was the gift that he was given. He had a gift of encouragement, a gift of exhortation. Just to be there at the time. You know, you're going to find after a while he's going to fade off the scene because he's fulfilled a very vital function, as you'll see as you go along, stepping in these junctions when it's needed. And the Lord has his people prepared for just such as that. So the next time we find him now, so Acts chapter 9 now, we find Paul, he starts trying to preach now after the disciples accept him. He goes and he visits Cephas and James, he says in the book of Galatians, he sits with them. And then he tries now, he wants to go and preach in the synagogues. He goes to pray and the Lord comes and says, you need to leave the city. You know, they're going to try to put you to death. They're not going to receive you. And Paul leaves there and he goes back home to Tarsus. And that now becomes his 9 hidden years, 9, 10 years. You're going to find, you don't find anything about Paul. Paul is in Tarsus, he's back home. And now he's whatever, the pot is working in his life, maybe starting just on his own freelance, doing evangelism, getting out, whatever that it is that takes place in those years. But the potter is fashioning the clay, not yet ready to unveil the finished product. That's going to come soon enough when we see Paul coming on the scene as in his first missionary journey. But there's this junction, this few years you don't hear about it. Then Acts chapter 9 and chapter 10 takes place. And the Gentiles start coming in. So this is some years later now, after he's been in Jerusalem, maybe 8, 9 years later, who knows? Now the Lord sends Peter to Cornelius now. So it's time for another junction in the book of Acts. It's time now for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. So Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. The Holy Ghost falls upon them. It causes a big fuss in Jerusalem. The disciples don't understand. How can you go into the house of the uncircumcised and all that kind of stuff? And Peter tries to explain it to them as best that he can. And then the next thing that you hear is Acts chapter 11. Is the gospel strikes now even further afield to the Gentiles. At first, the disciples, when they go out after them, there's now a persecution has come again. They go and preach only to the Jews. It says in the previous verse to this. But some of the disciples now start to preach and the Gentiles start to repent. Acts 11 verse 20 on there. And some of them that repented, this is in Antioch, were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So for the first time, it's not just the first fruits, Cornelius coming in. Now there's a great number of Gentiles coming in Antioch. So this is not too far from Tarsus where Paul is. So the disciples now, they hear of this. In the next verse, it says, these tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So they said, okay, Barnabas. Now that was really the discerning power of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. Maybe they didn't even realize why. But when they just heard of this work that was taking place in Antioch, immediately they felt the right man we need to send is this man, Barnabas. Why? Number one, Barnabas is from Cyprus. And we've just seen that the Jews from Cyprus, Cyrene have gone to Antioch. They're preaching and Gentiles are starting to come in. So they realize, hey, Barnabas, you understand you were living among the Gentiles before. Go and see what's happening with these Gentiles, these ones that are coming in Antioch. The second thing, he's a Levite. Now we saw that. He's a Levite of Cyprus. So he's got a real, so he knows the law. He knows all these things. So that's okay, you. And there's something about his ministry. There's something about the way that he's made. They say, look, we think that you're a good sort of a person to go into a situation like that. Because this is going to be a very complicated situation. There's going to be Jews and Gentiles. You're going to find in Antioch, there's going to be Simeon or Niger. There's going to be a black man in leadership after a while. It's going to be a mixed church, different colors, different cultures, people from Macedonia, people from Israel, people from Cyprus, people from Libya. Cyrene is in Libya. You know, so there are these, you don't really need Peter in a situation like this. Peter's strictly called to the Jews. You can see that. He doesn't, even later when he meets up with Paul in the book of Galatians, and Paul has to rebuke him. Now that when the circumcision, the Jews come, now Peter separates himself from the Gentiles. Remember, he wouldn't eat with them. So, you know, Peter, and that's not their commission. That's not their call. James and all the rest, they must go to the Jews. Plenty of work to be done there. 5,000 have come in on the day of Pentecost. Thousands have come in after that. The gospel spreading even in Samaria and different places. But here's a man, an unusual man, Barnabas. He's a man that can just step into this transition because of where he's from, the way he's made, the character that he has, and the ministry that he's been given. So they send him now to Antioch. You go and see what's taking place there. It was such a good choice. But I think the primary qualification was because of his character. They knew that this man, wherever he goes, he just really encourages people. He builds things up. He edifies things. And that's what you need when a work is starting. You need someone who can edify and build things up and encourage and, you know, stand in the gap for people and stuff. And he was an ideal sort of a person for that. So the rest of the apostles, they're far more comfortable with the circumcision. They're more comfortable in Israel, the temple and all that. Let's send this man and let's see what happens with him. So he goes there, verse 23. Listen to what it says about Barnabas, who, when he came, he gets to Antioch and had seen the grace of God. He was glad. When he went and he saw these Gentiles repenting, just like he had seen the grace of God in Paul. He never held all the things that Paul had done before against him. He saw, no, this man's done a lot of evil. This man did a lot of, he caused havoc to the church. But here was a man. Now, many others didn't see grace in the coming of the Gentiles. It was an offense to them, even in the early church. But here was a man of grace. You know, here was a man that was born of grace. And you find a person who knows grace, they can discern grace, they can recognize grace. And when he gets there, he sees these Gentiles coming in, he sees the transforming power of grace inside of their lives. He knows this is genuine. Look what the Lord is doing in the lives of these people. And it says, when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them. Now here comes his ministry. He's an exhorter. He's an encourager. He encourages them straight away that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Yeah. You stay with Christ. It doesn't, you know, so this is the ministry that he has. That's a really, really encouraging, powerful ministry. He comes to encourage these new converts. I think the other Jews maybe in Antioch that were there, they didn't understand. They didn't really know what to do with these heathens coming in, these uncircumcised people coming into the church. Hey, I don't even know whether I'm supposed to invite these people to my house. They're not circumcised. We're not supposed to eat with these people. We'll defile ourselves. You know? They didn't fully understand. It was still a transition going on. But you needed somebody like Barnabas to come and step into that situation. And you find he comes in at this time and he encourages them. He exhorts them because he recognizes this is the grace of God. He doesn't come and find all their faults and come and find all these other things. But he comes and encourages them. And the Bible comes to say why. Verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. That's a great thing, friends. He was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. My. And you're going to find, put somebody like an encourager and exhorter in the midst of people like that. A man with this kind of a nature, this kind of a character, this kind of a faith, this kind of a preaching, watch how that work's going to grow. It didn't take long. It started to grow. Much people was added unto the Lord. You know, so he started to encourage them. And if you go and read, you know, like behind the scenes, what was taking place at that time, he starts to encourage them as Gentile brothers. He exhorts them. He doesn't put any difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. But as we've seen already, he was a Levite, so he knew all of the requirements of the law. He knew all of the 613 commandments that a Jew was supposed to keep and all of that. He's a Jew as well. So he's got this double-barreled something. He's a son of the law by birth, but by his new birth, He's the son of consolation. He's the son of grace. He's not a son of the law. And friends, you can never start something. You can never establish something. You can never get anything to grow if you're a son of the law, if you try to abuse the law. You can't. It's got to be encouragement. This time, like they say, correction is good, but encouragement is better. We do have our times where we need, you know, to do the house cleaning and all that. But when this work is starting in a formative time, it's like when you meet the new believer, you know, you find somebody coming in from the world and they come and they don't know how to dress properly yet. And they still got the earrings and the jewelry on and they still come with makeup and all that kind of stuff. If you find this man was still Joseph, the Levite, yeah, you'd bring the law down on those people. But because now he's Barnabas, the son of encouragement, yeah, you wouldn't focus on those things. You would encourage them in the Lord, and those things will take care of themselves. That's how the things would grow. You know, you really find that principle so much when you see how Paul would do his things, becoming all things to all men and all that. That is really, really the ministry of a man like Barnabas. So he could have been a son of the law. He could have come, put the law in Antioch and said, no, you uncircumcision and this, that. But he discerned the grace of God. And this is grace taking place here. And so he exhorted them, encouraged them as his they were his brothers, the Gentiles. I'm sure he's the kind of man who has invited the Gentiles to his house. Yeah. And some of the other people in church couldn't understand, how can this man invite these Gentiles into his house? Hey. And some of them repenting or maybe slaves, if you go and read in your Bible, some of them are, you know, not the best of society. Antioch was a rough place. It was a very immoral place. It was like a boundary town between Syria and the Roman Empire, like that. So there were fugitives. It was quite a serious place. And here you find a man steps into that situation now, and he lays such a good foundation. He's in charge for a year. He takes over this work for a year, it says in the book of Acts. And much people were added unto the Lord. That was the fruits of encouragement and the fruits of grace. And then you find now things started to grow and build. And he finds himself as the leader, you know. But he's not really the one that's going to lead to the Gentiles. He's a man that's required to come in at this junction to encourage this. This is the first missionary-minded church. The first church, Antioch, which is going to send missionaries to the Gentiles, is Antioch, not Jerusalem. Now, this becomes the headquarters. This becomes Paul's headquarters as well for his three missionary journeys. They've got links and ties to the believers in Jerusalem, obviously, but this is going to be the headquarters that the Lord is going to use to spread the gospel, to bring in the church ages, to bring in the Gentile bride, and to set the conditions right, to lay the right atmosphere. He sends Barnabas there to go as soon as this work starts. And Barnabas labors for a year. And when now he gets to a certain point, he's dealing with Gentiles. He sees the need. Hey, look, there's some of these people are in our church. They've got relatives in other towns. Some of them got relatives in the Roman Empire. Some have got relatives in Cilicia and Galatia and all these Macedonia, all these surrounding provinces. What are we supposed to do? These people are saying, look, can't you come with us, Barnabas? And let's go and take this gospel now to the other regions around here. He now, the discerning power of the Holy Ghost inside of Barnabas, he remembers exactly the man who's required at this junction now. And the next verse says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek for Saul. Now, don't forget, they haven't met for maybe 8-9 years. It's been a long gap. But he never forgets the calling, the qualifications, the character, the commission that is given to Paul. And when he sees the work, friends, that's a great gift inside of somebody. Now, when you see a certain work, like the disciples, when they discerned in Antioch, now we don't need to see St. James. James isn't going to do too well in Antioch. James was very much towards the law. And they discerned the best man, let's say, in Barnabas. Now, when the junction, when the work is growing, when the work needs to expand, wow, this man Barnabas realized this work is going well. But I know the man that we need to take this thing, for this thing to go. There's a man that was commissioned by Christ himself to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's my good old friend, Paul. And he goes now to Tarsus to find Saul. And you never know what's happening in Paul's life at this time. Like we said, if you read all that, the sufferings that Paul went through for the gospel, he says, you know, three times he was shipwrecked. You'd only find once in the book of Acts. He says, Paul, once I was afloat on the deep for a day and a night. That's not in the book of Acts. So these are things that took place before in those 9, 10 silent years. There's a lot of things. He says three times he was beaten with rods. I think you only find it once in the book of Acts. You know, so in these years now, these other hidden years, these secret years when the Lord is dealing with Paul in Tarsus, he's also gone through some hardships. Maybe he's getting out and he's preaching to the Gentiles. He's preaching in the villages round and about Tarsus. The rulers of the synagogue beat him for what he's doing. You know, you don't know all the things he's going through, but it comes to a junction. Maybe, you know, obviously he's ready now. He's just about ready to step into his adoption as the apostle. But maybe he needs encouragement at that time because he doesn't know what else to do now. And just at that junction inside of his life, Paul, here comes the comforter in the form of Barnabas. Here comes the son of consolation to find Paul in Tarsus. And if you go and read it, he actually had to look for him. Maybe Paul was out preaching somewhere. Barnabas was determined to find this man. And verse 26, it says, and when he had found him, so Barnabas finds Paul, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So here something starts to take place. They first called Christians in this place. Here's a mixture. There's Jews, there's Samaritans, there's all manner of nations, Gentiles inside of this church. And Barnabas has done such a tremendous work, and now he brings Paul in. And now Paul comes, and now they start to establish the work even further. But Paul now, he starts feeling inside of himself, oh, there's still more work to be done. You know, I've been called to take this gospel, not just to preach where Christ has been preached, but I feel my commission is to preach where Christ hasn't been preached. That's what Paul said. And he starts speaking maybe to Barnabas, and they start fellowshipping. And if you go and read, by the time you get to Acts 13, verse 1, there's five leaders in the church. There's one Manaean, there's Simon Niger, there's Barnabas, there's Paul, there's one other, I can't remember his name. You'll find there's five, there's got powerful leadership inside of the church. And Paul now is maybe really inside of his heart seeking the Lord and saying, it's time for me to get out there to fulfill my calling now. And just at that junction, Acts chapter 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, so I really like that. What a blessing. Imagine when the Holy Ghost puts you together, ordains for you to be together with the son of consolation, the son of encouragement. That was very good for Paul. Just at the beginning, this is the beginning of his first missionary journey now. He's about to go out now. You know, no one's ever done this before. And the Holy Ghost says, Barnabas, you go with Paul. Hey, that's a great help. Now, Paul, these last few years, he's been working by himself. It hasn't been easy. And now the Holy Ghost puts them together. You know, I learned from this verse that there's people commissioned by the Holy Ghost to walk with you at the various junctions inside of your life. Because Barnabas and Paul, not always going to work together here. Later on, they have a dispute and they break up. But they got this first missionary journey especially, and they work so well together. These are like friendships that are commissioned by the Holy Ghost. Oh, friends, what a blessing that is. When you find the Lord commissions you, I want you to be together with this person. I want you to get. You don't even know that you're commissioned, but he engineers and steers things in that kind of a way. So when they go out now, the first missionary journey, it's now Barnabas and Saul. You're going to find now as it moves on a little bit and the Lord starts using Paul on this first missionary journey, the emphasis is going to change and it's going to, next chapter, it's going to be Paul and those that were traveling with him. You know, so Paul now starts taking the leadership. Barnabas now has done his job. He's going to start decreasing a lot. And Paul, now he's going to rise up and he's going to take the gospel. And he's the first church age messenger. He's the apostle to the uncircumcised. But Barnabas was so important at that junction. But look what it says about Barnabas, the next thing as well. Think about Barnabas now and John Mark. Yeah. This issue here causes a separation between Paul and Barnabas. It's a very, very interesting issue. No, Paul, it's in Acts chapter 15. We'll get onto another verse on it on the next slide. But in Acts 15, Paul said to Barnabas, after the first missionary journey, they come back to Antioch. I think they went to Jerusalem and came back to Antioch. He says to Barnabas, let's go and visit all the brethren in the cities where we've preached the word, and let's go and see how they're doing. So Barnabas says, okay, let's go together with John Mark. Now, if you've read before, John Mark, last time he came with them to help them on the way. And when the going got tough, John Mark was nowhere to be found. He headed back to Jerusalem, right at the point of need. When they're about to head into the mountains, head into quite a dangerous area, whatever reason it was, the Bible doesn't tell us. But John Mark, he decided, no, he wasn't going to go with the brethren anymore. He was going to go back home to Jerusalem because that's where he was from. And Paul never forgot that. He knew this young man let us down when we needed him. He was supposed to come and help us on the way. So when they want to go now, Barnabas is related to John Mark. John Mark is his cousin. It's his uncle's son. But Barnabas, being the son of consolation, he's got this real character. He discerned potential inside of Paul when none of the other apostles discerned that potential. Barnabas can discern inside of this young man, John Mark. Yes, he let us down last time, but let's give him another chance. And it says that Paul thought it wasn't good to take the young man with him. Yeah, because he had departed from them from Pamphylia, it says. And the contention became so sharp that they departed asunder one from the other. My, this caused a division between the two of them. And so Paul now gets Silas and he heads off on his second missionary journey. Barnabas goes with John Mark to Cyprus. They travel to them. Okay. Here's the scripture. Sorry, I should have read it from here. So Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, so you're going to find here that Barnabas is going to do what he really tries to do, what he does best. He's going to try to be an advocate. He's going to try not to speak of the cup being half empty. He's going to speak of the cup being half full. To say, no, let's give him another chance. Let's take this young man because he sees something inside of this young man. But at this time, obviously, Paul, his mind is on the missionary work. He doesn't want to be tied up in this kind of a thing. He says, no, I'm not taking this young man with us. And they divide among themselves. So Barnabas takes Mark with him to Cyprus and obviously encourages the young man along the way, finds a nice way to speak to him about his faults. Hey, young man, that wasn't good what you did to us last time. How could you have departed? And then, you know, Mark maybe sees as a genuine repentance inside of Mark and so forth. So he really saw the potential inside of this young man. And Barnabas was right to see that potential. Mark might not have been ready to go on the second missionary journey, but once he spent some more time with Barnabas, you're going to find John Mark becomes a real asset. John Mark becomes one who writes the gospel of Mark. That's the Mark who writes the gospel. Yeah. And in 2 Timothy 4, just before Paul passes off the scene, he tells Timothy, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, so later on, when Paul now hears what's happening in the life of John Mark, he says, hey, man, let me really give that young man a chance again. And you find John Mark really has great potential, becomes such a blessing and an asset to the church. He brings us even the gospel, and he becomes profitable, very helpful in the ministry of Paul. You know, so it's really a good character that Barnabas had. Paul had a very good reason for what he did there. I'm not saying Paul in any way was wrong, but Barnabas there, he saw, no, I want to give this young man another chance. Yeah. And he took him under his wing and encouraged him along the way. And you find this young man, Mark, became an outstanding young man. He became a blessing, gaining all the experience he needed. You know, it seems like Barnabas just really had a way of correcting people in a good way, shaping them up again, encouraging them, and that was right, discouraging them in that which was wrong, which the prophet and the church editor says is an attribute of Christ. He knows how to encourage us in those things that are right and discourage us in those things that are wrong. You know, see, even with John Mark, you'll find that's the next time you find Barnabas. He's a real advocate, and he's a very good judge of character. He stood for Paul in the hour of need. He stood for John Mark in the hour of need. And in the end, his investment pays off. And this young man becomes a real, real prophet. There's that one, 2 Timothy. Now, just as we wind it down, Proverbs 17 says, we know the scripture well, if you've been with us any length of time, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, so a friend's going to love you when things are good. They're going to love you when things are bad. But a brother, what God, what the scripture calls a real brother, a real son of consolation, is born for your time of adversity. They were born for your time of adversity. That's quite a thing to think about. They are born. The Jewish commentators I read on this, Rashi, one of the most famous of the Jewish commentators, the best of them, he says, a brother is born for the time of adversity. And you're going to find that people like Barnabas, they're born for this, that kind of a junction. When there's a need, when adversity is coming, when discouragement or consolation is needed, you know, the Holy Ghost is the encourager. The, you know, Brother Ram says that, does he not? He says, a Holy Ghost full man is always positive, never negative. If you allow that Holy Ghost to express himself, the Holy Ghost is an encourager. The Holy Ghost is an exhorter. He says, that's why you find certain people that you love to be around, because there's just that positivity. There's just that atmosphere of the Holy Ghost around them that really encourages you when you're down. But there's those other people that you get around. They might be nice people, but there's like gloomy, you know, critical sort of a spirit around them. And hey, you don't really like to spend too much time with those people because of the atmosphere which they generate. Because you are a creator, you're an amateur creator, you create an atmosphere. So we need these kinds of people. We need a brother who is born for the time of adversity. That guy, Rashi, the Jewish man says, I think it says here, a brother is born for a time of adversity. He is born into the world for this purpose. You know, so in predestination is such a powerful thing. The people the Lord puts inside of your life at various junctions of life, if you are a son or daughter of God, there's a purpose that he puts them there. He's going to put Barnabas your way. He's going to send Paul your way. You know, whichever attribute, whatever characteristics you need ministered inside of your life, he is the one. And I look at it in the life of Paul. It wasn't Paul looking for Barnabas. It was the grace of God seeing the need of Paul at certain junctions and sending Barnabas into the life of Paul. Barnabas going to find Paul in Tarsus and bring him to Antioch and, you know, introducing him again to the saints, making him feel at home. Let him get used to now being part of the mainstream move of what the Holy Ghost was doing at that time. And that launched Paul now on his ministry as the apostle, the servant, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. But we need these kinds of people that step in these transitions. We don't only need these kinds of people. May the Lord help us to be these people, not to step in the gap. When I read this today, I was just so much thinking about, if you think of these kind of things, a brother born for the time of adversity, that son of consolation, I thought of Ruth and Boaz. You know, you find Boaz now, it's the coming in of the Gentiles. Now, she's in a strange place. She's come from, well, maybe she dressed strange. She speaks with a strange accent. She doesn't really feel so familiar in the place. She's come by faith. She's come by revelation to Bethlehem at the time of the harvest. And at that junction, just when she's going into the fields now of Boaz, and they're poor. Things aren't going well at home. You know, I mean, Naomi's old. Their husbands have died. She's gleaning barefoot in the fields of Boaz. Just at that junction, God has a Boaz for her. Yeah, and he comes now at that moment, as when she comes to the field, that their Boaz comes to the field. And what an encouragement that he was to. You go and read it in Ruth chapter 2. When he met her in the field, And he encourages you, he calls you my daughter and says, I've heard of your testimony. If you're thirsty, come, the young man will give you water. If you need some food, come and eat with the young men at lunchtime. Don't go to any other field. And I've told these other young men in my field that are not sons of encouragement to not touch you, to leave you alone. If you have any problems, you come and speak to me. That's what he's saying. And you find, yeah, I really thought of it today. I said, every Ruth needs a Boaz. And it's wonderful that in any church you have those Boazes, you have those Barnabases, that a new person comes, they're feeling strange in church, they've been coming from sin, they're just feeling to serve the Lord, and they come along to church, and there'll be that person that just comes, encourage them, come to my house, hey, where are you from? Ah, oh, that's good, good. Hey, what about your Christian life? Oh, come on Tuesday, come and have a meal. You know, that kind of a gift is worth its weight in gold. Now, that is really... In Boaz, Boaz being a type of Christ, the Lord of the harvest, that was the spirit, that was the comforter, the spirit of consolation inside of Boaz. How he encouraged, like the new convert, the new person coming along, feeling strange in the midst of the children of God. But Boaz, he really encouraged her. And saints, if there's only one thing that you'll take from this evening, is this diversities of ministries. Now, Paul has his ministry and no one can take his place. Peter has his calling, his place, and James and the other apostles, they have their calling specifically in certain places to certain people. But you need these people like Barnabas, not people with great ministries, you know, where they can teach deep things or they can, you know, maybe cast out so many demons and see so many people get out of wheelchairs. They might not have those kind of ministries, but they have a ministry of exhortation. A ministry of encouragement, to come and encourage people to stand steadfast in Christ. And friends, those kinds of people, they're worth their weight in gold, especially at those junctions like there. So I always expect that in life. I'm sure that you do too. When you get to those junctions, when you're needing encouragement, you're always going to find somehow. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of encouragement. He's going to encourage you somewhere. If someone's trying to pull you down and accuse you over here, the Lord's always going to balance it. You're going to have an advocate. You're going to have a son of consolation over here. And you appreciate those people. And now, Paul and Barnabas weren't together for very long. What a blessing it is in our lives. I just look on, even on the Bible study today, I just see certain people that the Lord has allowed me to walk with for years that have been great sons of consolation in my life. Have been a great encouragement to me in the hours when I needed that encouragement. And may the Lord help us. And if I just would encourage people, especially you saw on Sunday, you know, new people, quite a number of them coming along. That is a great, great thing to do. You might feel I'm quite insignificant. You might even be new in the faith and you feel, but I don't think I can do very much. But just to go and greet somebody and say, it was really nice to see you in the house of the Lord and where are you from? And you know, find out a little bit about somebody if they're near your age or you know, you feel a compatibility or if you feel comfortable in that to take their phone number. You know, or get somebody else involved to help them. That is a tremendous, tremendous asset in the work of God. Just as much as Barnabas was such a tremendous asset to the early church in that juncture where a man like Barnabas was required. A man who saw you. When I thought of Barnabas, when I was thinking of him today, you can really imagine Barnabas was one of those really, really happy, encouraging sorts of people. You know, those people that very little gets them down. Those kind of people that you like to have them along because they, you know, they're the good-hearted sorts of people, large-hearted. You know, they don't want to think evil of somebody. They don't want to speak bad about someone. No, let's think the best. Oh, that brother did this. Okay, let's pray for him. Let's go to his house and encourage him. You know, it's those kinds of people. So may the Lord help us to express that in whatever measure that we possibly can. And we do thank the Lord for the sons of consolation who he does give. And the ones that you walk with in life. And may the Lord bless them as well. So let's bow our heads, saints. Father, we thank you even for the life of Paul and the way that you led him and guided him and the way that you fashioned him and formed him and the people you put inside of his life. And Lord, we see what you've done in our lives. You see what you still are doing. And Lord, by your grace, what you still desire to do. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for those seasons and times and those people and those ministries and those messages and of encouragement, Lord, that you give. What a blessing that it is to us, Lord. And may you bless your people. Help us from this, Lord. Father, help us to be like Boaz when the Ruth comes along, Lord. Father, somebody just needing that kind word, somebody that needing that encouragement, somebody maybe just not feeling so at home or feeling out of place. But Lord, may you help us to be that bridge in that transition like Barnabas was, to help people such as that. Lord, we know that none of these things are in our own strength, but it's the comforter in us as we allow you to be expressed. And Father, may it be done, we pray. May you bless your people. Would you pray for Sister Lydia? Pray for Brother Vlad as he travels tomorrow. Bless the funeral, we pray, as it takes place, Lord. May you be a comforter to them, we pray. Bless Brother Pele there, Lord, Brother George with him. Bless them as well. Thank you for the sons of encouragement, the sons of consolation, and all that they've done for our brother in the hospital. Bless them, and the daughters of consolation as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. Anybody like to add anything, contribute something, testify of something, questions, anything? Concerning Paul and his ministry. I just thought maybe to bring that one up this evening, saints, because I think Barnabas is one of the real unsung heroes of the Bible. He was, the Holy Ghost really puts quite a bit of emphasis on him at that time. So I thought, wow, yeah, he really had a life, and he really pleased the Holy Ghost. You don't really find one negative thing said about him inside of there. And I thought, wow, what a testimony that he had. May the Lord help us to be like him. Anybody else there, saints? Concerning the diversities of ministries as well. You might look at yourself. You might say, I'm a shy sort of a person. Yes, you may not be a son of consolation like that. But, I mean, there's many ways you can encourage people. You know, it can even just be to drop somebody a message on WhatsApp. It could be just to give somebody a call on the phone. You know, whatever. There's just many, many ways that you can encourage people when the opportunities come up. And it's a wonderful thing if the Lord would help us to do it. Okay, saints. I think it was a topic maybe that didn't gender too many questions, which is good. But it didn't gender too much discussion either, which isn't so good. Next time, by the grace of God, if we do continue with Paul, we'll see how we go. But now he gets on to his first missionary journey. So, you know, it really gets on to Paul now, and it gets on to how the Lord used Paul. And Paul was a really mighty man, the way he was used. You know, he was really such a missionary. And if the Lord would help us to get into it, to stir us up down the way of evangelism, like we said the other day, so I didn't say it, Brother Ellie sent me, I asked about those three new people that came, those three guys sitting in the front of the church on Sunday. And he said it was Brother John, that brother visiting us from Nigeria, had been out doing street evangelism in Dublin and had brought those three guys along to church on Sunday. And they really responded well to the word. Yeah, and I really thought, wow, may the Lord really bless Brother John for that, getting out on the street and bringing three people along. And I thought, my, Lord, the potential is there. May the Lord help us. So as we get into Paul and all this, it gets more into evangelism, which I think is a good thing as we hit into the summer holidays now. If you get into some of these kind of things like evangelism, that to stir up the gift that is within us, and may the Lord lead us and guide us to fulfill that great commission in a greater way.
Shalom, Bro Andrew.
Yes, bro.
Thanks for the topic on Barnabas. I think that, well, at least from my part, the lack of response is because it kind of really shows us how far we, you know, it convicts us, like, you know, it shows us how far we are missing the mark, because many times we wait for some great visitation from the Lord. But when you go and hear about Barnabas, he was just normal like me and anybody else.
It's true.
We probably have more resources than he had.
Amen.
But he used his resources more effectively. And it shows how far we have fallen from, maybe I shall not say grace, but I will say grace. But it's wonderful. It also encourages very much, because we don't realize how much important whatever the Lord has put in our hands is, because like you're saying, even just a small text message to someone to encourage them, it does a lot to a person, like in their hour of need. And if we can ever catch that revelation that a clock has got so much going on behind.
Yes.
What we see is the hour hand, the minute hand, the second hand, and we think they're the most important things. They are, they complete the work, but behind that, behind in the engine, there's even the smallest little thing that the tiny cog does to make everything work together, you know?
Yes.
So indeed, we are, every one of us, integrated in that way. And unless we all play our part, no matter how small, this work here might take long. So it's encouraging to hear about Barnabas in that way.
And it's true, bro, is that, we always quote that what the prophet says about God uses a man the way that he makes him.
Mm.
You know, so God obviously fashioned that man in that way. You can just see some people that just naturally are optimistic people. They're just naturally, friendly people and stuff like that. So, you do find on the scale of encouragement and that Barnabas would be, yes, a number 10. That's why the Holy Ghost really focuses on that. You know, so we maybe not made quite like him, many of us, but those characteristics inside of his life, like you said, being a man who wasn't, maybe so outstandingly gifted like in other ways, like some of the other apostles. Paul had far more revelation, was far deep, and Paul was a very encouraging guy as well. But that particular aspect, he was born for that season. You can see God really made this man. Think of where Paul would have been if there wasn't a Barnabas. When all these disciples and that, when they're so suspicious of Paul, how was he going to win them over? It was going to be, he might have thought to himself, if there was no Barnabas, he would have thought, okay, let me go and preach in the synagogue in Jerusalem and show the other disciples that I'm sincere. Yet Jesus had to come and tell Paul, don't preach in this city, leave. Your life is in danger. So, it was very important for him to meet Barnabas at that time, for Barnabas to be able to intercede. For Barnabas to be able to really recognize and see him in a different light than the rest of the people who are seeing him. And then he said, brings him along, and really he is the go-between to bring Paul in, to get in fellowship with the early church. I said, wow, the Lord is really powerful. He brings those people in. And then when Paul needs to come to Antioch as well, he's the man. There's this man who just comes and brings him along and helps him to settle in, obviously, because Paul's been by himself all these years. He's been a lone ranger. He hasn't been working with anybody. And now he has to bring him into a church setting now where there's Gentiles and Jews and all that. You can imagine how Barnabas smoothed the way and helped Paul to like really settle and feel at home. Until after a year, Paul was so much at home now that he really caught a full understanding of what his commission was now, that he feels that we need to get on a missionary journey now. And then that's when the Holy Ghost comes, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, and the two of them go out. So he really played just such an important part. And to be honest, until I was reading it these last few days, I never realized that. No, I never realized Barnabas played such a big part. I always knew there was Barnabas, the son of consolation. But I never really realized just why they needed a son of consolation then. So, yes, bro, it does. It does convict. But I think all of us are cut in a certain way. And if we can just be led of the Spirit the way the Lord made us, I think we'll be a blessing in our own way. But yeah. I think encouragement might be, like I said, Barnabas, naturally speaking, he was a Levite. Imagine. So he's so strict in the law. He's a Jew. So he grows up in whichever sect he was of the Jews, maybe a Pharisee, who knows? So naturally speaking, he should have been very strong on the Gentiles. He should have leant towards circumcision. He should have leant towards not eating this and not eating that. But the powerful thing about it is, the experience when he received the Holy Ghost, he was so transformed that was not his focus at all. It overcame that natural temperament that it would have been very easy for him to have given himself over to. But instead, you find he goes and encourages those Gentiles and he brings them in and stuff. And I said, wow, may the Lord help us to be like that. Yeah?
Amen.
Henry, God bless you there. Oh, he went. He was there, but he dropped off. Yes, thanks, Brother Wilmore, for that prayer. Anybody else before we finish there, saints? I think we all know what it is to have an encouraging atmosphere around ourselves. We all know what it is when there's an encouraging spirit in the church. To me on Sunday, I found it was very encouraging in church. I don't know why. I just found it was such a nice time to me. Right from the beginning, Sunday school, all the way through to the time, even the musicians meeting we had afterwards. You know, just when there's that really anointing and it comes like a oneness and a unity. Yeah, and the Holy Ghost is so encouraging. It's not easy to be negative in an atmosphere like that. You know, you don't want to be like that. But you know, to stay in the spirit is to stay in that spirit of encouragement. And it's contagious, because if one person is encouraging in an encouraging spirit, you find it starts to influence the people which they hang around with. And people start seeing things the way they should be seen and seeing things in a different way. And it's a great, great asset to have. Okay, let's finish up then, saints. God bless each and every one. Brother Wilmer, would you pray for us then, please, bro?
Yeah, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord, your mercies that has given us this opportunity that we could sit, Lord, and read from your word, Lord, and see some of the things that we have seen tonight, Lord, how we are so thankful for the Son of Consolation and what it meant to Paul, Lord. Father, if it wasn't, Lord, that you placed Barnabas, Father, we do not know how these things could have worked out, Father, but we are so thankful that, Lord, in his hour of need, Lord, you provided a Barnabas. And even as we look in the life of Paul and see these things that you've done for him at the important junctions of his life, of his ministry, Lord, we see, Lord, that you are doing the same even in our own lives, Lord. And it gives us encouragement, Lord, to know that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Lord, that how you worked in the life of Paul at the time of his need, Lord, Father, you provided a Barnabas, Lord. And even in our lives, Father, when we have come to times where we are discouraged, Lord, we are disappointed, Lord, and we don't know which way to take, Lord, you've always given unto us, Lord, a Barnabas to encourage us, to put a hand around us, to pray with us, Lord. Father, and we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Father, even looking in my own life, Lord, and I was discouraged, Lord, and ready to go back home, Lord, to Zimbabwe. But, Father, you placed the Sons of Consolation around me. And looking back, Father, I can only say thank you. And there's many that can testify the same tonight, Lord, the works that you do in our lives, Lord, blessing around us people to encourage us, Lord, and to urge us on, Father. We thank you, Lord. And we have hope, Lord, knowing that tomorrow, whatever it may bring, Lord, Father, in your hands, oh God, everything will be just fine. So we want to thank you for this, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, tonight that may feel to be in that place of discouragement, Lord, not knowing what to do with situations. Lord, may you speak to them, Father, after this Bible study is over. Lord, as they meditate on this word, Lord, let them see, Lord, how you have placed in their lives, Lord, sons and daughters of consolation in their time of need. Bless them and encourage them, oh God. We thank you for this Bible study. We want to pray, Lord, tonight for the prayer meeting on Friday. Amen. May you meet with us, oh God. Father, we pray for the Sunday service in Limerick, Lord, and in Dublin. Lord, that you bless your people, Lord. Please be with us, Father, and keep every family, every brother, every sister. Lord, renew their strength, Lord. Even our brother Pele, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have kept him this far, Lord, and the Sons of Consolation that you have put around him, Lord, that go from home, Lord, to just bring him, Lord, some consolation at this time, Lord. Father, we thank you for them, that you would bless them and continue to strengthen and to encourage them. Be with us, oh Father, and I remember my little sister. Be with her also and grant her grace, Lord, in the operation. Please. Lord, I pray for our brother Vladimir and sister Lydia in their hour of loss, Lord, that you, the greatest comforter, may come near unto them, Lord, and encourage them at this time. We commit ourselves to you now as we ask all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Brother Greg had said, sorry, he couldn't be in today because he's training people at work. So, Brother Greg, God bless you. If you do watch this, We did miss you tonight, brother. God bless each and everyone. Have a good night, saints, and God bless you.